At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Like, you have to have your athlete perform at the highest level. And how you get there is different for everybody.
Hello, and welcome back, or welcome to, the Gestalt Performance Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler White. In this interview, we get a chance to chat with Austin Panter. Austin is the director of golf for Gestalt Performance. We get a chance to chat about Gestalt Performance's mission and purpose and goals, and basically what we're trying to achieve with everything. He also gets a chance to talk about DNS golf and Gestalt Performance golf and what that all means and how we integrate golf with the DNS principles to, I don't want to say revolutionize, but we're doing big things in terms of the way we look at training and performance and rehab, and we're making pretty big strides in each one of these areas. The DNS Golf Seminar coming up here in November gives you a chance to not only learn the DNS principles, but find a way to integrate them with the biomechanical movements of the golf swing, and then it'll also give you a guideline to work with golfers, whether it's changing something mechanically or working on something more rehabilitative due to repetitive overuse injuries and that kind of thing. So anyway, enough of my rambling. Let's hear from Austin Panter and myself. All right, and we're rolling. So here we're back. This is Tyler White. I'm sitting here with Austin Panter. He is the kind of the lead director of golf for Gestalt Performance. Austin, how you doing?
What's up, buddy? Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, so what we're going to talk about today is a little bit more on the philosophy and the background of Gestalt Performance, what it means to us, what the vision is, some of the stuff we have coming down the pipeline, and then just kind of expound more on that. So let's get at it. Gestalt Performance, what is it?
Oh, man, it's everything and anything. It's huge, you know? I think when we started Gestalt Performance about 2 or 3 years ago, we were sitting in the same clinic, you know, and same office, talking about what that looked like and so forth. And we came up with the idea that, you know, Gestalt first and foremost means the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And what that means to us and what that means in both your world of baseball and my world of golf is, you know, having world-class expertise in every facet of the performance world, from baseball to golf, I think is really, really important. So we kind of brought that idea together a couple of years ago, and we've been running with it ever since. And I think what's really matured out of it is, you know, your awesome World Pitching Congress thing that we have coming down the chute, and then the seminar that we have coming down for DNS golf. And I think what's really cool about it is the idea that, you know, two worlds that are two separate worlds, whether it's a baseball world or golf world, can come together under the same principle, you know, and really have the same type of philosophy, the same type of experience, and same type of criteria for assessment, evaluation, performance enhancement, and treatment, you know, and then be in its own separate entity of the world as well, you know, being golf and being baseball. So I think it's I think we're both excited. I think we're both kind of really just ready to get it rocking and rolling and be the, you know, the experts in the world at both the golf world for my specific realm, and you know, you're killing it obviously in the baseball world for sure.
Yeah, I like how you talked about the meaning of Gestalt and where it all comes from, the whole being greater than the sum of the parts. You know, we're all good at what we do, which sounds super cocky, but you know, we work a lot at this, right? So this is something we've trained for a long time to become as good as we possibly can, and we learn from some of the best in the world to better our skills. But even by ourselves, we're really nothing compared to the whole, right? It takes a team, it takes group effort. You know, maybe there's two or three things that I'm not very good at that someone else in the group is amazing at, right? And it takes that. It takes someone that has a background in strength and conditioning. It takes someone that has a background in functional medicine or nutrition or whatever. And then it takes someone that has a movement, musculoskeletal background, as well as someone that's in the skill component of things.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, putting it all in one person is not what it could be. It could be much greater.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And we always talk about, you know, when we're in the clinic together here, you know, sitting right beside each other, how it's fun to come to an environment and to a team aspect where you are all on the same vision and the same page for the growth and the development of each individual patient or athlete that you see, as well as a company, you know. And it's always more fun to do something great and world-changing and game-changing with other people. So that's what we, you know, the idea behind working amongst skilled professionals in whatever world, you know. And you can be the best in the world at what you do, but if it's just you, then it's, you're at the end of the night, you're still by yourself, you know. So being the best in the world at what you do with other professionals who, like you touch base, strength and conditioning, functional medicine, nutrition, assessment, therapy, treatment, rehabilitation, whatever world it is, they're the best in the world at bringing those components together and having just a really good team evaluation and team aspects out of things, I think is really what keeps me and you awake and keeps you excited for the future of Gestalt Performance. You know, you can be average at a lot of things, or be the best in the world at one thing and use other people as leverage, like you talked about. And I think that's what the idea behind Gestalt is, and I think that's what you're doing with, you know, with your pitching Congress coming down the chute, and with Gestalt Performance Baseball and Golf. I think that's what our vision is, and that's what we will continue to strive for and vision each and every day.
What does the golf industry need?
Ooh. You know, I think what the golf industry needs is, I think it needs, it just needs a little bit of a, you know, a jumpstart. You know, I think there's a lot of good ideas out there. I think there's a lot of good resources and information out there, you know, but I think a lot of the stuff that's being taught or evaluated or used in our world today is, you know, 10 to 15 years behind. You know, I think with the way the athletes are changing, I mean, we could attest to this each and every day, that the athletes are changing from baseball to golf, that they're not golfers, they're not baseball players, they're athletes, right? So I think what needs to happen is the systems and the evaluations and the therapy or the rehabilitation units need to start looking at these as athletes versus just an individual golfer, an individual baseball player, you know. And I think that that world, if you start to use that as your basis and your background and get your athletes to move really, really well in a broad sense of terms, and then specialize them in a sport specific training regimen or program, I think that's where the world's going, versus just training for sport specific stuff like baseball or golf. And, you know, and I think that's important moving forward, is, you know, you see all the best athletes in the world, they're, we always talk about like multiple sport athletes. They're the best at baseball and the best at basketball. They're the best at swimming or tennis or golf or whatever it is. They are the best athletes that are playing a sport specific entity. So, you know, I think what needs to happen in the golf world is we need to start generating and creating better athletes that are golfers versus golfers who are athletes. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what keeps me excited, is that the idea that we can increase athletic performance, which then in turn equates to better skill acquisition on the golf course versus just training skill acquisition on the golf course and hoping that they become a better athlete. So that's kind of what, you know, what my vision is of Gestalt Performance for golf is just making my golfers, whoever it is, just be a better athlete, move better, and then having that baseline be improved so they can go to their, like we talked about, the team approach. They can go to their swing instructor, or they can go to their functional rehabilitation specialist or whatever it is, and they already have a better baseline so they can do what their coach or what their vision or their goal is to do, for sure.
Is it a system? Is it a mindset, a way of thinking? What is it that it's missing in terms of trying to connect what you just said?
I think it's just the understanding. I think, you know, coming back to the Gestalt idea, you have to bring all the entities together. I think you can be the best world-class mental acuity and have poor skill acquisition, or you can have great skill acquisition and poor mental acuity. And if you don't bring those entities together, then you're going to struggle, you know. So having that Gestalt idea, that the Gestalt principle, is having a one-stop shop, a one-stop area where people can come for that full evaluation, that full therapy, and that full, you know, athletic performance enhancement, is what we both vision for your world of baseball, my world of golf. I think, you know, just the co-management of the athlete amongst the healthcare or the sports specialists, you know, bringing that team aspect together for everybody versus just own being in your own world. You know, we talked about, there's a huge disconnect between a golf coach, a golf therapist, and a golf nutritionist, right? So, or, you know, that even happens in the baseball world, we see sometimes, mm-hmm. too, that what the coach is trying to have the player do versus what the therapist is thinking versus what the nutritionist is doing. Like, there's no continuity of care amongst the practitioners or the coaches, etc. So that's where I think we both envision, you know, having a one-stop idea, one-stop philosophy, one-stop shop of having that Gestalt principle where everybody's together and, you know, it's greater as a whole than its individual parts.
How much so in the golf realm? So this is different from baseball because golf is 5 years to 85 years when baseball is a lot more narrow, right? What would you do different, or how would you change any type of assessment, treatment, injury prevention, performance training, whatever in the golf realm with someone that's 18 going into college or someone that's 28, you know, trying to make it to the PGA, or someone that's 55 just looking to have a good time and you know, network with his buddies or whatever?
Yeah, I think what the difference between baseball and golf is, in golf, you're always doing the same thing. You're always standing over the golf ball and you're always hitting it the same way, whether you're right or left-handed. You know, baseball, you have the opportunity to hit a baseball, say, 3 or 4 times a game, but you're still running, you're changing directions, you're still throwing, you're still moving in different planes of movement. With golf just being a single plane movement and you're just stationary in one position, I think what's really important is having the ability to have good movement and good assessments for both sides of the body. I think your body, you know, golfing, we don't see a lot of traumatic injuries like sprained ankles like baseball players, or, you know, torn UCLs or shoulder, you know, impingement like you see all the time. But what happens is it's a repetition injury. So it's just the same muscles and the same joints bearing the same weight and the same load over and over and over again. That just wears people out, you know? And I think if you have a good evaluation, a good therapy, and looking at baselines between the left and the right side of the body, I think is really important for having the continuation of your athlete, having, I always say, good baselines and good movement enhancement, as well as longevity in their career, you know? Because a lot of our athletes, whether they're, you know, a 12-year-old golfer or a PGA Tour player, they're going to have differences between left and right side of their bodies just because they're just doing the same thing over and over again the same way. So having the ability to maintain good equilibrium between each side, I think, is really important for the longevity of any golfing career, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it always goes back to what the specific skill is at hand, right? The
yes.
imposed demands needed on the body, and,
yes.
and whether or not the integrity can hold up for whatever those
right.
skills are, whatever those movements are. Because like in baseball, it's elbows and shoulders, right?
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
those, and now granted, they're not the most common being hamstring and a few other things, but the most traumatic, most you know, maybe polarizing injuries are the elbow and shoulder, because they can be career threatening potentially, or change, you know, the direction of your career if it's a, you know, a big contract year, or if
yeah.
you're trying to get a scholarship or whatever and you got to be out a year. It's a big deal, right?
Yeah, sure.
So that's more being baseball. Now in golf, what would you say is like the region that it needs most attention?
Yeah.
You know, where do you see your biggest problems, and where's kind of the...
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say like the biggest issue that we see in our golfing world are usually the lead side neck injury, because they're always looking to from the right side to the left side of the body. And it's the lead side left knee, being if you're a right-handed golfer, left-handed golfer being your right knee. And it's just that stability model, right? So your brain is using that left side, if you're a right side golfer, right-handed golfer, as your support point, your in your fulcrum of your movement. So a lot of neck injuries happen on the left side, a lot of left knees and left hips happen. And what's really crazy about it is it's the right side low back, because you're coming down, you're hitting a ball that's on the ground, so you're getting a little bit of a side crunch, you know? So I know we all know Tiger Woods, but Tiger, when he first initially started his injury, it was a left meniscus knee injury that kind of tailspun him down, and he started back in 2099 with a left meniscus repair, and then kind of ever since then he's just been battling, you know, and kind of moving up the chain. And then his back surgeries that he had, the 3 back surgeries, happened were on his right side, because he's a right-handed golfer. So when you're rotating and, you know, in golf, and you have to hit the balls on the ground, you're going to get a right lateral flexion, a right side crunch movement, and that strains the disc and compresses the disc quite a bit over time. And if you just do that swing at 120 miles an hour, over time it's just going to wear out on you. So I think that's where, you know, you see it a lot in your pitchers, is that right, that dominant side, you know, taking the blunt force trauma for your shoulders and your elbows. But, you know, the golfing athlete, like, it's that repetition that kills him, and that force of swinging the golf club 80 times, you know, 40 times around but at 120 miles an hour. So let me spin it back on you. Why do you think hamstrings are the most common injury versus if you ask a plethora of people, they're going to say shoulder, elbow?
Well, hamstring is more in baseball in general, not just pitchers.
Right.
So it's more, you know, running something out. You're going from zero to 100 every single time you take off, right? There's really no gradual buildup most of the time. It's the ball's hit, you're sprinting as fast as you can, whether you're the fielder or the runner. So, I mean, that's generally you're seeing hamstring strains is your biggest one. And that, there was actually some, Chris Camp, he's an MD. He did a whole piece on the most common injuries in baseball, doing a big collective research study, and a hamstring is by far the most common. So I really just think it's because that quick overactivation from zero to 100 so fast, you know, it eventually just gets you. So that would be my assumption why that.
Yeah, most people don't think about that though. You know?
I know.
If they think of shoulder elbow, because you're just repetitively loading.
It's what you hear the most too.
Yeah, that's what you're always hearing about.
Yeah.
So it's not sexy, right? Hamstring injury is not sexy. Shoulder or UCL is sexy.
But with that being said, like some of the stuff that we have the capability of doing as far as like stabilizing the body and making sure it's moving the proper way to be able to withstand and take on any load that it's given, you know, some of the stuff that we have the capabilities of doing is potentially, I don't want to say preventing, but reducing the numbers of you know, like hamstring strains or stuff like that, because you're changing the muscle pulls and the stressors and strains around the joints.
Oh yeah. I think what's important is, like we always talk about and we always say, like having that assessment, that baseline is important, because what we see all the time is somebody coming in into our office, whether they're a golfer or a baseball player, and saying, hey, like my hamstrings are always tight, you know? And that for us is the first red flag that, hey, like, okay, what we don't need to do is stretch your hamstrings, mm-hmm. right? Your hamstrings are tight because they're trying to give you, like you talked about, like that stabilization model. So the last thing we want to do is stretch a muscle that's already too stretched, too tight anyways. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if they don't do a good proactive therapeutic rehabilitation and kind of neurologically turn that muscle off, it's just going to be under load. And then over time, it's just going to get worn out. And then that's when you pull your hamstring, like you talked about, you know? So having that assessment and that understanding of the compensations that you see in your sport-specific pattern, I think, is important as well. You know, like we always talk about the external shoulder rotation, you know, how pitchers are going to have more than, you know, golfers, but golfers still need external shoulder rotation on their trail side, because that's how you know, we talk about slotting the club, you know, and if they don't have that, you know, they're going to struggle, just like pitchers are going to struggle or whatever it may be, you know, but having a good assessment evaluation, using that assessment evaluation for your baselines for your sport specific movement, I think is important versus just using general averages.
Yeah.
So for sure.
Perfect.
Yep.
Where do you see Gestalt Performance Golf going?
Oh, that's, man, that's what I think about every night.
Yeah.
This morning at 4 o'clock, I woke up thinking about it. So I think where I see it going is two things. I think it's really has to start building the awareness of an idea. You know, I think it's an idea that is gaining some traction both in the baseball world and golf world, that we need to have more of a continuity of care amongst healthcare practitioners, therapeutic rehabilitation specialists, et cetera, you know, the whole idea that the team approach. So really excites me that, you know, working together with other people that are involved in golf or baseball, like such as yourself, and just the idea that we can continue to increase athletic performance, which then in turn allows your athlete to be even more of a baseball player or even more of a golfer, you know? So this is actually just the first step. You know, we have the DNS golf thing coming down, you know, November 15th through the 17th. And then we have the World Pitching Congress coming in January, which I know you're super excited. And if you're involved in baseball, you have to be there, because that's another idea, you know, like, I know we talked about that. Your idea of hosting that seminar was to bring the best people in the world all under the one roof where we can all learn together, you know? And I think that's what we're going to do with DNS Golf here in November, is continuing just to build that, you know, that platform for evaluation and therapeutic intervention, as well as sport-specific training and evaluation, and just using that as the continuation of building Gestalt Performance Baseball, Gestalt Performance Golf, and then connecting with other practitioners and therapists and, you know, other people who are involved in our world and thinking like-minded.
Yeah. So basically eventually getting to the point where maybe teaching people the methods, the methodologies of movement, of injury prevention.
I think what that does, I think what that does is it holds both you and I accountable. Mm-hmm. You know, I think if unless you can, the greatest thing you can do is teach somebody what you know,
yeah.
right? Share the wealth. You know, I don't like to say that I want to hold all my information. I want to spread the word and continue to have other people, you know, learn from the best as well as learn from me. And that way you can continue to bounce ideas off each other, you know, because if you're just doing it by yourself and you're just every day going into the clinic or going into the gym and just doing your own thing, it gets lonely, like we talked about. So I think if you really know the material and you really do a good job of presenting it, but then also have results, I think allows you to have the opportunity to have some credibility in the teaching world and then have the idea that, hey, you know, like this works for X, Y, and Z, or this doesn't work for X, Y, and Z, you mm-hmm. know, and there's no really systematic approach to it because like we always talk about, you know, like every athlete that walks into our door is different, you know, whether it's Tiger Woods or Dustin Johnson or, you know, Max Scherzer or whoever it is, you know, like any baseball pitcher that has, you know, they're all different, right? They all have different body compositions. They all have different, you know, movement mechanics, and just like my golfers that I see, you know, so not having a really set criteria of assessment, but having a generalized principle that we're all working together towards the same goal, I think is what gets me excited. And then the idea of using that as the building platform for Gestalt Performance, and then use building Gestalt Performance to really kind of shape and change the way that we're interacting amongst our, you know, the therapists and the rehabilitation specialists or the coaches amongst the world.
For sure. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. perfect.
Yep.
And then, you know, potentially building that into like more of a remote training or, you know, bringing people into a facility where you have a full breakdown and working, you know, with professional athletes. And
I think that is the goal.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's where we envision, you know, Gestalt Performance going is having a platform such as a physical facility, you know, having that ability to have our athletes wherever they are, you know, whether they're in Troy, Missouri, where we're at, or Los Angeles, whatever, you know, come in for that specialized, individualized treatment, training, rehabilitation specialist, etc., and having a place where you can get the answers you're looking for, mm-hmm. you know, and then having everybody on the same page, you know. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we see just the disconnect where athletes get hurt or they don't know what the next step is, or they're just lost and just, you know, their movement and enhancement or performance. So having a place where we can fill that void and get them to be all on the same page amongst everybody, I think is absolutely what we're envisioning and what our goal is to have that, you know, that physical location.
Yeah, that's perfect. I think the fascinating thing is like, I personally am not that special, right? But I know enough people that are extra special, best in the world at what they do, to pick their brains, to put something together that's, you know, that's needed amongst the, you know, movement and sports.
I can't agree with you more than that. Yeah, absolutely. Because I'm not the best in the world at functional medicine, but we know somebody who is. We have a doctor here at our office who's the best in functional medicine. I'm not a golf coach, but I know the best golf coaches across the world who we could work with, you know, mm-hmm. and so forth. So, but where, like you said, like what excites me is using those connections and using that leverage, whether it's in baseball or golf, to generate a platform, generate an idea, and generate a place where you can go for all of those types of care, those types of evaluation or therapy or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. Absolutely correct.
So you work with a few pros right now. Tell us kind of your more recent one, kind of what that process looks like and you know, how they're doing and all that.
Yeah. So one of my professionals, he flew in from Phoenix. He's on the web.com tour. And the idea was he just came to me. He just felt like he kind of was hitting a little bit of a lull on his performance enhancement and on his golfing ability. So what we did was we just broke it down. We just kind of looked at, like I said, like a generalized baseline, a generalized movement assessment using, you know, we use our, you know, DNS principles around this office, and we think, you know, have a good basis for movement enhancement and performance. So we did a good evaluation of therapeutic movement intervention assessment with him just to get baselines. I didn't even look at his golf swing, right? So I was looking at how he moved, how his body moved, how his muscles and his joints were working, and then use that as my movement assessment for the breakdown of his golf swing. And then I listened to what he had to say about his golf swing, about what he was doing with his coach, and I try to correlate with what he was doing with his coach versus what I saw, and try to fill the void and the gap and the need for where he felt like he was deficient at or felt like he couldn't move, and then used, you know, like the therapeutic intervention and therapeutic movement through, you know, optimal, you know, DNS progressions that we like to use around here, and then through some, you know, joint manipulation, and then having him understand how to move better and be aware of that. And so using that as a leverage, and then talking with his golf coach and kind of bridging the gap between his body and what he thought he was doing and then what they were trying to do, and then bringing it all together. And he's actually, he's doing well. He, you know, he's really picked up a lot of speed and a lot of consistency, but also he's not getting hurt anymore. So that's kind of the idea behind moving better, so you can decrease your chance and likelihood of getting that repetition injury.
Yeah.
So it's exciting. That's what keeps me excited. You know, we talk about, I keep beating this dead horse, but baselines, right? So he came into me and his baseline was set, and then our goal with him was to increase that baseline of movement pattern so he could move better, swing the golf club better, and then eventually perform better. And I think we've done that, and we've increased his output. And I think that's what excites you too for baseball, you know, like having that optimal baseline get, you know, move up each and every time you see your athlete, and always making sure that they continue to move better and continue to be just the optimal, you know, sport specific training program that they're in.
Ability means nothing without durability.
That's the truth, isn't it?
It's so the truth.
For sure.
Okay, so what else do we want to hit on that? I mean, that's covering a lot of the basic ideas, the backgrounds, what's going on, how it works. Now, one thing I guess to note on is like the whole DNS background. You know, some people that know a little bit more about DNS know more about us, you know, with Gestalt Performance and Winchester Spine Sport and all that is they think, you know, oh, that's all they're doing. It's maybe a quarter of it.
Yeah.
You know,
there's just a quarter. You know, it's the Gestalt principle.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not just full DNS. So there's so much more that we can do because it's the Gestalt idea. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. So DNS is just one of our tools that we have.
It's a tool.
It's just a tool that we think does a good job for X, Y, and Z condition or X, Y, and Z issue. And then there's other tools that we have. So mm-hmm. we're not just DNS practitioners. We do so much more than that. And that's what allows us to really have an unbiased opinion of our athletes, because we're not just looking under one lens of the DNS world. We're mm-hmm. looking at a sport, at whatever world of our athletes, using different types of techniques and tools to evaluate whether they are a golfer or a baseball player, mm-hmm. you know, and so forth.
Yeah. And then also adding, you know, movement and yes. anatomy, physiology, and, you know, some of the most up-to-date, you know, skill acquisition stuff, as well as the actual skills necessary for that sport, mm-hmm. you know, understanding swing path mechanics, understanding pitching mechanics, understanding, you know, I always like to say the old Gretzky quote of, you know, meeting the puck where it's going, not where it is. It's like, you know, understanding the way this person's moving here tells me exactly where they're going to be in a month or a couple of weeks, or, you know, can we stop the progression of something breaking down? Can we make them better? Can we do this? Can we do that? And kind of understanding the whole system rather than just approaching one or two, you know, main areas.
You hit that right on the head. I think, like, you talk about is like in baseball, like, what's really cool being around you is like, your idea is like, you can look at like an athlete on the baseball field, and you're predicting how they're going to perform or how they're going to move before they even do it. And I'll sit here, I don't know anything about baseball, and I'll watch you predict it. And it's so cool because you have that optimal movement strategy in your head, and you know what works and doesn't work. So I think that's what's cool about bridging the gap between both worlds, is because we're doing the same thing, but in a different way. You know, a high impact velocity sport like baseball and throwing, versus a sport that goes from rest to high velocity back to rest, and predicting optimal movement strategy and optimal patterns, as well as predicting injury, I think is, in my world as your world, is what keeps us up at night for sure. So I definitely think that, like you said, like having that understanding of, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Like, you have to have your athlete perform at the highest level, and how you get there is different for everybody, you know. And we talk about DNS or joint manipulation or whatever it is, we talk about that, but it's all figuring out what the athlete needs, and that's why there's really no systematic approach to it, and it's all individualized, and all meaning that it's from the Gestalt idea that every part that we do with our athletes is all directed to increase your athletic performance on the baseball field or on the golf course.
Yeah, and the beauty of it is, between golf and baseball, there's so many correlations in that cross pattern activation. You know, the interoblique sling, and understanding how they all work together and synergize and whatever. You know, there's a lot of overlap. So
I know I find myself asking you questions about, you know, what the optimal loading strategy of the shoulder is, just because, you know, sometimes my understanding of the golf swing is it's skewed because it's golf, and then I'll ask you about the baseball and it's kind of like, oh, that makes sense, right? Or we'll talk about forearm rotation or pronation or supination, you know, and your understanding of the baseball world and my understanding of the golf world, we're marrying the two to see which is the optimal movement strategy, you know. And then oblique swings, I think that's definitely hits the nail on the head for sure, because mm-hmm. I think it's the same type of activation. We talk about, you know, using ground reactive force and you know, establishing that support side or whatever it may be, using body track or whatever you use, right? So it doesn't matter, but having that same understanding that cross pattern, I think, is where we sit in and we bounce ideas off each other, which is really cool as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you see a, maybe not disconnect's the word I'm looking for, but do you see like a kind of an issue where the rehab community is behind the performance community or vice versa, where there's not, you know, there's you know, in baseball, I'll give you an example. In baseball, you see a lot of the rehab community are very conservative with their kind of return to play parameters. And then that carries over into more performance stuff as well, where in all reality, if you can get a little bit more aggressive, if you kind of plan things out more appropriately, you can not only get them better faster, but you can actually get them to a higher level of performance. Do you see that in golf?
You do. Yeah, absolutely. I think what happens in that world is I don't think necessarily it's, you know, it's malicious at all. I think it's a byproduct of everybody wanting to do a good job at what they do in their own world, in their own realm, and they don't want their athlete to fail and it come back on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you're the therapist and you're working with the athlete who has low back pain, the last thing you want to do is think that you want to pre-release them too early to start lifting or start swinging a golf club, and then they relapse on you with back pain, and then that makes you look like you didn't do a good enough job. So I think there's a little bit of an issue there that, you know, our therapists, our rehabilitation specialists, or our coach, whatever it is, they may be a little bit more conservative just because they want to do an exceptional job and make sure that their athlete's ready to return to play and not have anything backfire on them, you know? And, but that's where, like you said, like you hit on the head, like I think having the understanding that that's what the athlete might need. You might need to be more aggressive sooner than later in order to return them to play, and that's what the body might need. But having that continuity of care and that same communication amongst the people, the coach, the therapist, the biomechanic, you know, whoever it is, having that understanding and those baselines and that assessment, I think is really important moving forward. That way, when your athlete, say, is 2 weeks post-injury, they're ready to start to load the system and start to move really well versus just being, okay, well, I know this injury takes 4 weeks to rehab. It's just the therapist for 4 weeks, and then it's the coach for 4 weeks, and mm-hmm. then it's back to return to play, you know? So having that continuity of care and that communication amongst the team, I think, is really, really important. And then using that as a leverage to get your athlete to return to play faster or to increase their athletic performance with whatever they're doing.
Yeah, that's perfect. For so sure. What, like on the same line of that, how would you make a swing coach's life better or make them better at what they do?
I think what happens is I think the disconnect in that world is the athlete, the golfing athlete, maybe it's for the pitching too, is they can't explain, you know, they can't explain what they're doing. They're all about feels, right? So having that golfing athlete or that baseball pitcher or whatever it is feel what their coach is trying to do, I think is the disconnect that we see a lot. And so if you have the idea of what the golf swing coach is trying to do with your golfing athlete, and then using your evaluation or assessment to make sure that they can actually do what their golf coach is trying to do, and then have them go through a certain movement progression or therapeutic intervention that makes them, wow, this is what it feels like to load my oblique sling, or this is what it feels like to get external shoulder rotation in transition, or whatever it may be, right? Having that assessment and that evaluation and that baseline improve, and then bridging that gap between the athlete and the coach or whatever it is. But, you know, I think where we struggle at in the golf world is that communication and awareness, we call proprioception, from the athlete, the golfing athlete, to what the coach is trying to do. And then there's no real middleman who's allowing that athlete to feel or to have that optimal baseline movement so they can do what the coach is trying to do with them.
Yeah.
For sure.
So in baseball, we talk, when we're talking about technology and performance training and coaches and whatnot, we say golf is 15 to 20 years ahead of us.
Hmm.
What do you think about that?
Ooh, maybe not 15 to 20, but it is. It's at least 10. Mm. You know, I think that the technology world, the rehabilitation world, the understanding of the optimal biomechanics in the golf swing, I definitely do think it trumps the baseball world. Because mm-hmm. you can just go to Google and type in any research article you want for golf, and it's right there. You know, you struggle a little bit to find research in the baseball world just because that's just where it's at, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think, I think it's 10 years for sure. Just because I think that's the way the golf world is. It's people want to know information and they strive for information since it's a different type of a high velocity impact sport because you have a lot of time to think. Mm-hmm. Baseball, it's very reactionary, you know, and so forth. So I just think that it's probably 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say for sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But how do you get it? How do you get it there? That's my question. So like in the golf world, like how do you get your baseball world? How do you get it caught back up to that, to where it needs to be?
I think they're on the right path. There's a lot of advances. It kind of goes back to what we're talking about with this whole idea of mindset change.
Yeah.
You know, getting an understanding. Like, well, baseball is very, gentleman's game type of thing where it's conservative and a little bit old timey and, you know, a lot of, you know, your guys that only teach the kind of the old way that used to,
right.
you know, go down. They don't like any of these numbers and data analytics, technology, any of that. But that's changing and we're seeing it rapidly. I think we're going to catch up very shortly as far as how that whole thing stands. Just, I mean, you're seeing whole organizations clean shop and they're just totally wiping the slate clean with as far as personnel and scouting and coaching because they realize that, you know, they need to advance and the game's rapidly advancing. So I think it'll catch up pretty quick.
What's really crazy is golf used to be that gentleman's game. You know, back in the day where you just taught all on fields and you taught X, Y, and Z. But now, like with the technology, TrackMan, you know, the force plates, the K-Vest that are out, anything that measures body, like people are information starved, you know, in the golf world because they've never been around that world.
Mm.
I also think what's happening, though, is the reason why we're ahead, the golf world versus baseball world, is because the president, the CEO of the golf world is the golfing athlete. You know, so we don't have organizations, you know, your own individual entity is who you are. So there's not a group of people who are making executive decisions for the team or for the clubhouse, the operations each and every day, you know, so there might be a little pushback on that, you know, but because at the end of the day, Tiger Woods is his own boss,
yeah.
you know, Dustin Johnson or Brooks Koepka, they're their own boss
yeah.
versus all these athletes who are now in the baseball world, like, they have to answer to the manager. They have to answer to...
It's a really good point.
They have to answer to the GM. They have to answer to the owner, right? And those guys, they've been around the league for a while and they say, well, this works. This is the only way it works. Mm-hmm. Well, these guys are looking for other information. Or the information they're looking for might not be what they want to use for, like you said, contract year. You know, so we see that a lot too is that if you have a poor movement deficiency, the last thing you want to do is have your GM or your owner know that
mm-hmm.
going into a contract year because that makes you... damaged goods, mm-hmm. you know? So that's just a different world too, because Tiger is the operations manager. He's the CEO. He's the owner of his own body. So he can do whatever he wants to do.
Yeah.
So if he wants the information, go get it. Great. If he doesn't, then he doesn't want it.
That's cool. Cause then everybody's trying to basically outbeat everyone else to the latest, greatest, newest, going to yes. make them the best, you know, that's
yep.
And there are, I would say 5 to 10 major league teams that are trying to do that now, but it's
yep.
so hard when you have so many units, you have so many pieces and sections and personnel that you have
oh,
to
yeah.
get on the same page to kind of do that.
Yep.
And, you know, that is why we're seeing total clean slate teams, like just firing everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fire sale.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to do that, get on the same page. But
yeah.
it's so much easier when you're one guy.
When you're one guy.
Yeah.
And you're the head honcho and you can make the decisions.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, there's a lot of guys who travel with their team to PGA Tour events on the weekends. And there's three guys. There's the golfing athlete, there's a coach, and there's a therapist.
Yeah.
And that's all there is. And that's their team. That's their clubhouse. That's their organization right then and there. So they can make whatever executive decisions they want to make. And at the end of the day, the golfing athlete is the head honcho.
Mm.
So he can decide whatever he wants to do. So if he wants that information or that assessment, he'll do it. If he doesn't want it, he doesn't need it. Which is different than an organization that is a $1 billion organization like
mm-hmm.
the Cardinals or whoever it is, you
mm-hmm.
know. So
well.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about DNS Golf, November 15th through the 17th. What's going to happen there? What's going on?
What's not going to happen? It's going to be amazing. No, it's awesome. So 15th to the 17th, November here at our clinic here in Troy, Missouri. We're excited. We're going to host it. The idea behind it is just to expose kind of the assessments, the evaluations, the biomechanical movements that we like to see, the optimal loading strategies you should see in your athletes, and then using that to continue to build the Gestalt Performance brand, mm-hmm. connect with practitioners, professionals in the golf world, and just continue to get the word out there that this is who we are, this is what we're doing, and you know, like just excited to get it going, you know, and for, you know, it's going to be that time of year where we're starting to slow down in the golf world because it's November, but it's a good time to kind of connect with people and continue to get that word out there that that's what we're doing, and you know, help people who now have the off season to get that evaluation, that therapeutic intervention or that biomechanical assessment that we offer for sure.
Yeah, so, that's perfect.
Yep.
And then that's also going to be going over like, a strategy for treating certain injuries, yes. and most common thing deals with golf.
Yeah,
that's going to be a really good kind of like launching pad for what Gestalt Performance Golf is going to be,
mm-hmm.
And what it can be for sure. Yeah. You know, after that for sure. So that'd be exciting.
And we'll have a couple professionals there. I think the one of my guys from Phoenix is going to fly in, so we'll actually have an assessment of, you know, a web.com tour guy and pre and post where he started, where he's at now, and kind of just talk about that. So it's actually, you know, the proof is in the pudding, the results that we like to speak of, because unless you have results, whether the results of your athlete or the results of the therapeutic intervention or the biomechanical assessment, then just all smoke and doesn't mean anything until you actually can quantify and qualify what you're doing and actually see an improvement for sure.
Yeah, you got to have an objective and you got to have case studies.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's November 15th through the 17th here in Troy, Missouri at the Winchester Spine Sport Clinic. It's a 3-day event.
Yeah, 15-second. Yeah, I think so. It's Friday afternoon, Saturday, and then Sunday till 1:00. And
perfect.
If you want more information, you just go to gestaltedu.com.
Yeah, so that's ran by Gestalt Education. So gestaltedu.com. You can sign up. That's next month. Also, we have the World Pitching Congress. That's January 17th through the 19th.
Gotta be there. That's gonna be huge.
It's gonna be nuts. We got 14 or 15 of the top people in the entire world at what they do, working with baseball, as far as trainers, athletic trainers, head trainers, strength and conditioning coaches, chiropractors, physical therapists, pitching coaches, pitching strategists, all of that. It's everything. And that'll be in Wentzville, Lake St. Louis area at P3. So that's going to be quite an event. We're excited for that one as well. That'll be a lot of hands-on stuff as well as lectures. So, you know, you're going to learn what the best and brightest do as well as kind of the reasons why. And then you're going to be able to get your hands on and do it yourself as well. Now, here's the cool part, networking. You're networking with the best people. The audience, the people in attendance is going to be just as it's outstanding. So it's going to be a really cool event. And there will be a lot of Gestalt Performance baseball teasers in there as well. So be on the lookout. You can actually go to the Gestalt Performance website. That's www.gestaltperformance.com. And you can register at the World Pitching Congress page on there. So
if you're anything or anyone in the baseball world, you have to be there. Like, I mean, it's going to be such a cool event. I don't think there's anything like this ever, right? I think you're going to be the first one. Yeah, it's going to be amazing. So like, if you're involved in any dynamic world of the baseball, you got to be there. I mean, it's a slow time of year. It's January. It's freezing anywhere you go besides Florida. So, I mean, it's going to be amazing. So I think what's really, like you said, I think what I'm most excited about is the information that's presented, but also the networking.
Mm.
You know, I think the people that are going to be there are going to be amazing. The speakers are going to be amazing. But just hearing other people's ideas and philosophies and just, you know, how they think is, and then drinking a beer with them afterwards, I think is really what I'm most excited about for sure.
It's going to be great. It's going to be so much fun. Any closing comments, remarks, anything you need to get off your chest?
Nope. I'm just excited. I think Gestalt Performance Golf and Gestalt Performance Baseball is really up and running. I think we're excited for the future of it. I think that that's what keeps us up at night. You know, that's what keeps me up at night. 4:00 in the morning this morning, I woke up thinking about it. So just excited, you know, just really ready to rock and roll and continue to build a brand and awareness of it. And just, I think 2020 is going to be a really big year for the Gestalt Performance crew and the Gestalt Performance idea and brand. So make sure you look out, follow us on social media, continue to share our tweets, you know, blow up social media with us, etc. And if you guys have any questions or concerns, just shoot us an email. We'll be more than happy to touch base, even though we're behind the speaker right now, we're definitely real people and love to talk and connect with people for sure. So,
yep. So if you want to work with golfers, you're going to be there at DNS Golf November 15th through the 17th. If you want to work in baseball, World Pitching Congress, January 17th through 19th. We will see you there.
Can't wait.
Can't wait.
And boom, there you have it. Okay, so again, if we're wanting to work in golf, learn a little bit about DNS and the principles and kind of what you can do to utilize it in both skill, performance training, strength and conditioning, as well as your rehab. You got to be there. You got to learn from the people that know what they're doing and that teach it all over the world, believe it or not. So DNS Golf, that's November 15th through the 17th here in St. Louis, Missouri. And then again, I'm going to plug our other thing going on. We got the World Pitching Congress January 17th through the 19th. For that, it's a little bit different. So DNS Golf is going to be more of a you're actually going hands-on and learning that technique. So you're learning from two different speakers for those 3 days. The World Pitching Congress, although you will be hands-on and also sitting down listening to lectures, it's going to be a little bit more of a conglomeration and multidisciplinary approach. We have multiple speakers that are in different realms, strength and conditioning, athletic training, physical therapy, chiropractic, or just skill experts. We got over 10 to between 10 and 15 speakers. So, that's going to be another pretty cool event as well. So, golf, November 15th through the 17th, and then baseball, January 17th through the 19th. You best be there.